Ready to go. Right. Rand nerd set. 3, 2, 1. Says it's working.
Yeah, Regine's got stuff coming through.
Oh, fantastic.
And Twitch has got stuff. YouTube has got stuff, but it's gone all weird.
Good old YouTube.
It's got stuff coming through to it. Yep. Apparently, the bitrate is very low. Apparently.
Is it?
134 kilobits per second.
134.77. I'm seeing 5.1 go up from my machine. Where's the rest of it gone? Where's it gone off to?
That's 5.1 was coming into Restream.
There's a leak somewhere.
There is.
Some of the bits have gone somewhere else.
Yeah, I'm going to blame YouTube.
Good plan.
I think YouTube's the fault in this scenario. Right.
I didn't do it.
Good day, my little Suffolk Ram.
Scazius.
Welcome to episode 219 of the Randers podcast. Hope we're all well. How are you, Scaz?
Great, mate. I didn't realise we were so close to 220.
I know. Our next big one's 256.
Mate. Are we gonna like put all computery stuffs everywhere?
Yeah, I was gonna have a sheep in the studio with me.
Yes.
A ram. I'm gonna have a ram with me.
You're gonna have a ram.
Yeah, why not?
Memory is that, Ram?
Oh, he's lots.
He's lots.
Well, if you think about it, he being an intact RAM means he has his, you know, he has his very important parts. And what is DNA but simply a data storage system?
You've been thinking about this, haven't you, Ram?
Well, he probably, whenever he... evening, Annie. Whenever he does his business, he probably transfers several megabytes of data.
Yeah.
How much data is stored in sperm?
And someone will say, lots.
How much data is stored in, I put S, and Google auto-corrected to sperm. So wow. I'm not the first person to Google this. Okay. Each sperm carries 37.5 megabytes of data. Each sperm.
Why aren't we storing things on semen?
You don't want to see what the hard drive looks like for that.
The SSS, the semen storage solution.
All right, so that's how many sperm sheep ejaculate. So, sperm output by rams and distributions amongst ewes by the National Institute of Health. Let's see. The number of sperm per ejaculate fell from 3,000 plus or minus now. So I'm assuming a spermosa is a sperm cell. Plus or minus, so roughly 4,000 according to this, which seems low.
I can't but believe you're actually... Are we now going to check multiple sources just to make sure that...
No, I'm just going to stick with it, but I'm now going to time 4,000 times 37 point... What did I say? 37.5?
Big.
5. Oh, that's a nice 150,000. To divide that by 1024... So that RAM is transferring 146 gigabytes of data.
That's a lot of storage, man.
That's like several hours of film footage, really, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And just think, it all goes to waste.
Oh well, one day.
If you're new, listen to the podcast. You basically that's a perfect introduction to what we normally talk like. And yes. Don't worry, all links to various reports will be in the show notes.
Mm-hmm. You can check the facts yourself.
Yeah, do your own research,
mate.
So now we've solved that mystery of life. You still hogs walking, Saz, or are you off?
No,
the
mate, I did walk? That. I wizarded. I was playing with my wand for weeks, and I won. I saved the day, and it was good.
And did it hold up all the way through?
Hmm?
Did it hold up all the way through?
Nothing exploded. I didn't kill anyone. The story was fine. Actually, did I kill someone? I might have done. I didn't do any of the really bad curses that they say that you could learn. I learned them all, but I didn't do them.
Well, like, fuck.
Yeah, none of that. Because I'm a good boy in the school of... No, I was not about to say that. Wait. Which one is Hogwarts? Is that the school of witchcraft and wizardry? Is that the one? Or am I thinking what, Unseen University?
Oh, no, Unseen University doesn't allow witches, does it?
Well, there's one.
But not it goes to where Unseen there, is it? Or is my not... I'm admitting my not sure of the Pratchett versus...
Equal rights.
All right.
Equal rights. See? Yeah. Probably for the best.
Probably for the best.
Probably for the best. No, it was solid, mate, to be completely honest with you. I don't see what a lot of the beef was about it. I think my main complaint at the end of it would be the PC port wasn't fantastic. And that to actually get the ending, you have to complete your OWLs, some wizard exam thing. And you can't do that until you reach level 35, 40. I don't know if you actually have to complete something else before you get to a certain level, but apparently the story actually ends at a level. Not at a point.
It ends at a level?
Yes. So I have 5 more levels to grind, and apparently the game goes, good job, you've studied hard. You are now a wizard. And I'll be like, awesome.
So basically goes, yeah, that big evil that you're working your way to defeating, don't worry about him. You're qualified now. Forget you can go off, you can leave now.
You could have just been grinding like, levels like in the forest.
An unfinished project.
Yeah.
You know, I've got enough points now to get to pass you, Cass, and get into the higher education. I'm not going to worry about doing that exam. I've passed it. All right.
Job done. I've managed to scrape through with the bare minimum. What do you mean the world's going to end? I don't care. I've got the points. Job done. No, the story was a tad predictable. If you're like me and you kind of go through things with a fine tooth comb, you saw the ending coming a mile. But I won't go into it. But let's just say the villain's reasons for all of the things that he did were fucking stupid. It was 2 spoilt brat, petulant children, and then that line from Jurassic Park, you know, too busy wondering if we could, whether or not we should, that groove. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, for fuck's sake. But it was actually really quite fun. So if you want to know my ranty all over the place thing of Hogwarts Legacy, go and check out the last episode. It was a solid game. Does get a tad grindy. Like, if you want to get to that level 30-some-odd, you have to start doing the Suffolk Ram side quests where you clear the map to get the thing, or you can just stand there grinding, shooting things or capturing animals and selling them. There's lots of things to get experience in that game, but when you've done the story, things tend to get a bit thin. The game doesn't end at the story. It just doesn't end. That's not the end. The end is doing your exams because you want to be a wizard. But that actually ties into a wee bit of a rant I've got going on, Ram.
Yep.
So you know I keep saying how if you want to have a PC last for a bajillion years, you have to aim for the current generation of consoles and then kind of overshoot it a bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? And then as long as you have a PC more powerful than the consoles, games are going to be optimized for the consoles. You'll always be able to play your games. You may not be able to have all the bells and whistles, but you'll be able to play your games.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what the hell is going on right now, whether it be just because of the chip shortage and all that, but PCs don't seem to be able to keep up with the consoles unless you're willing to dump about $4,000 in.
You're probably not far off though. The chip shortage is that there was probably a long production. What is being produced was possibly substandard at a point.
Mm. Because, right, my PC is no slouch.
No. Right?
And Zaber's PC is no slouch. But as an example, Zaber wouldn't be able to play Hogwarts Legacy.
Really?
He only has 8 gigs of VRAM.
Oh.
The game soaks 8 gigs of VRAM in a heartbeat when you're playing it at higher resolutions at higher texture qualities. Now, I'm lucky. I've got 12 gigs of VRAM. The bonus for Zaber, though, is he has a processor with a higher single-core performance than mine. The performance on single core performance on his processor is far higher than mine. So if something isn't optimized for multi-core, most games only use like one or two threads hard core, and they'll just saturate a core as hard as they can and go from that. He will get a higher frame rate than me, but then his frame rate will choke when he hits that VRAM buffer. I started playing Street Fighter 6, came out on the 2nd yesterday, right? I have a gaming laptop, which is a top of the line of the mid-range gaming laptops. So if you buy a gaming laptop, you buy, say, a 3060, but the 3060 isn't the 3060. Is it the 65 watt 3060? Is it the 115 watt 3060? Is it the, you know, 90 watt 3060? You, like, depending on what 3060 you get will dictate the actual performance of it. If you get the lower power one, it's basically bin worthy right now. If you've got the higher power one, you'd have hoped it would have lasted for more than, say, a year or so, right?
Mm. Yes.
No. Fucking no. Hogwarts, instantly, medium, because it's been crippled by the amount of VRAM that NVIDIA put on their laptop GPUs. 6 gigs on my card. Hogwarts instantly wants to go up to 8 if you run at anything over medium settings. Right? Street Fighter? Fucking Street Fighter! A fighting game! Instantly soaks up all of your VRAM, and if you try to run that game anything over medium, it will shit the bed. You need a fighting game to run at 60 frames per second. If you run that game on high, you get very close to 60 frames a second, but all physics are tied to that frame rate. So if all of a sudden you dip, the game starts to run like you're fucking diving into a pool of molasses. Everything starts to slow down. I thought, okay, we'll bump it down to medium and see if we can do anything with that. Medium, smooth. Try and stream with it, craps the bed. Right. Street Fighter doesn't look... The mode, at least, that's causing all the trouble, doesn't look particularly fantastic. Yeah. It doesn't. They've got the Street Fighter has now got an open world RPG in it. Kind of like the Yakuza series. If you want to know what the Yakuza series is, just go and check out any of the number of episodes of Rad Nerds where I've spoken about the Yakuza games. This mode is mental. It cripples computers. So I fired up Street Fighter 6 on my main PC. My main PC! 1080p I maxed the settings out on it, but fuck me, did I get a stable frame rate? Did I get 60 all the time? No. At some point, I ended up down in the 40s. And I was like, I can't understand why this thing needs so many resources other than they've just optimized for the most powerful console they can and spat it out there. Oh, and the fact that they tacked on Denuvo 3 days before launch.
Yeah. So while you've been talking, I just quickly Googled to see what VRAM the consoles have.
Mm-hmm.
And both Xbox Series X and PS5 both have 16 gigs of VRAM.
Yes. Well, it should also be noted that they have shared VRAM, and the PlayStation has the added bonus of its system memory and video memory basically being the same type, which I think is GDDR6? 5? I don't know. It's big, it's fast, it passes data like you wouldn't believe. And so, but that's, I'm glad you did that, because that's where I'm starting to run into problems. Because you start to recommend people buy hardware based on the consoles, but there are some things that the consoles have in them that you just can't get on a PC.
Yeah.
The PlayStation 5's SSD is blisteringly fast. The memory on the PlayStation 5 is insanely quick. So even if you look on paper and say, right, the processor is approximately this, the graphics card is approximately that, there are still some things you just can't one-for-one do on PCs. No. So you just have to throw raw horsepower at it. But that's fucking expensive.
And the other thing to also bear in mind as well is that in the case of consoles and PCs, as consoles, their operators were optimized for that purpose.
Yes, very much so.
Whereas a PC, with the exception if you put yourself put a SteamOS on, which has been in theory optimized for gaming, but in general, Windows is optimized to everything, which means it's master of none.
It's kind of meaty. It's a bit tubby in the old memory department.
Yeah,
yeah. It's, and we're not. I'm not. You know, don't dog on Windows here. It's you know, for, as you say, for what it does compared to a console, fucking fantastic.
Yeah,
but. To say to someone, you can buy a £500 console, or you're going to have to spend approximately $3,000 on a PC, that's hard. And all these people who have literally just gone and bought PCs in the last year, 2 years, running, say, 30 series graphics cards, and like on my machine, I've got a Ryzen 7 3700X, or if you've got the 5000 series equivalent, you're basically fucked. Like, the, the thing is, you though, can play some of these games, though, but on the edge.
The thing is, though, it's a lot of it also comes down to, because the VRAM's there, the developers are using it. There are ways around, they didn't have to optimize it that way. So they could make it one lovely.
Of course they could,
But they've gone down the easy, I'm air quoting easy route, because they've optimized it for consoles.
Mm-hmm.
They've gone on that route, and traditionally, if you did that, it was fine. PCs could handle it, but as you say, they've got an insane amount of VRAM.
Yeah,
so because
the average PC user, and I'm just using Steam charts here, has 6 gigs. GTX 10, no, 8 gigs, 8 gigs. GTX 1060 is still the most popular graphics card on Steam, and that's an 8 gigabyte card, I believe. I don't know if there were 12 gig variants, but that was, I believe it was an 8 gig card. If you're on laptop, it was a 6 gig card. So realistically, you want to optimize things for around 6 to 8 gigs. That's not what's happening, and a lot of people's computers are being left behind. If you're optimizing for the massive pools of video memory on the consoles, not many people have video cards that can do that on PC.
No.
I mean, I don't. I've got one of the most powerful cards of the last generation, and I've only got 12 gigs of VRAM.
Yeah.
So, we're at
past,
this weird...
Past what we're seeing is actually a... Perhaps that's what we're seeing is because, let's be honest, we're going to a stage now where war processing power isn't enough.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps what we're seeing is the shift to using other methods to get, you know, the super duper graphics out of things, and perhaps we're just, the console just sort of headed a curve on the shift to having more VRAM, and it will be, the thing is, your graphics card processing power will start to level off. Let's just face it, the processors in your PC at the moment, the cores, they really aren't much, they're more of them now, and they've got bare cache, but they're not actually that much faster, gigahertz-wise, than ones from 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Clock for clock, not, yeah. We were sat at, what, 4 gigs years ago?
Yeah, exactly. So they're not really, they've sort of hit their plateau, and maybe this is the thing, perhaps the thing is it's going to be VRAM. That'll be where things will go, is having more VRAM on the cards.
Mm-hmm.
And consoles are just ahead of the curve at the moment.
It's just unfortunate that companies like Nvidia are still fucking... Well, their new 4060 came out, didn't it? And that only had 8 gigs of VRAM. Knowing full well that their last generation cards with 8 gigs of VRAM were crippled, as games are now requiring more VRAM. But Nvidia are like, nah, yeah, that's all right. If you want more VRAM, buy the more expensive card. And if you want the most VRAM or enough VRAM to match the consoles, you're talking a good £800-900 card, maybe £1,000 card. It's interesting because we have finally hit, as you said, there's kind of like this crossing, a passing of the torch. Because for the longest time, consoles were based on ancient PC hardware. Even when they first came out, they were based on pretty old kit. You know, the PlayStation 4, when it came out, was less powerful than the PC I had at the time. There was no massive technical leap. So...
That's how you make consoles cheap, because you're using hardware. That's what's the word I'm looking for? Established, not quite established, but mature. You're looking at sort of mature. You look at mature hardware.
So because of that, machine lasted, the PlayStation lasted for what, 7 years or something like that, PlayStation 4? To that effect. I mean, it's still running. You can still buy games on PlayStation 4. You didn't have to worry about having a blisteringly fast PC, because as long as you were over that threshold, like the 1060 users, you were good. Now, the consoles are literally kicking the ever-loving shit, performance-wise, optimization-wise, out of pretty much everything other than the top, like, 10% of PCs out there. And we're finding that we're not getting the same performance by any stretch.
Yeah.
On current, I mean, look, like I said, Zaber's PC, he spent a couple grand on that. His graphics card is going to hold him back something chronic.
Mm.
Kind of like how my processor is holding me back now. And yet, if you buy a PlayStation 5, you will get pretty much the same kind of performance as our several thousand pound PCs, because the raw horsepower just ain't doing it anymore. And in recommending, because I've recommended some of my friends, Annie included, buy XYZ laptop. It'll do the job. It'll last a while. I need to find that within a year or two, it is now being crapped over because the consoles have just... When you look at it, you think, yeah, that should be able to keep up. A 3060 should be able to keep up with that. It should do. But because things aren't optimized, or we're short on VRAM...
Yeah,
or we don't have as fast a memory speed.
We'll find ourselves, when we in the future, look at, in the same way that for a long time, when I first started building PCs, you looked at your processor, was your first thing you looked at, you wanted to be media, and you went for it, you compared your processors, and then you compared your graphics card and so forth. Nowadays, processor isn't really that critical anymore compared to what your graphics card is. I mean, it's important, don't get me wrong. But it's not as critical. You tend to almost build a machine around a graphics card than around a processor.
Sure.
Whereas what you'll find now is you're going to be looking at the VRAM on the graphics card. You're going to look at different... What's going to happen is we'll find ourselves over the next 2 or 3 years switching to another different metric we'll use to determine is that a good machine or not.
Yeah.
And we're seeing the start of that now. And I mean, the pendulum will swing back. It will swing back over the next year or two. The graphic cards will come out. PC's gaming has been hit hard by the chip shortage, very hard by it, which has probably pushed it back a bit. But it'll swing back around as it always does.
It's just unfortunate that right now we're now sat in that kind of that skanky ass swamp of subpar performance on what should be high end hardware.
Yeah.
For whatever reason. I mean, like I said, when I fired up Street Fighter VI, a fighting game on my PC, this PC right here, to see that I wasn't getting stable 60 FPS, I was absolutely gobsmacked. I was like, if I want to stream this game with this rig, I'm going to have to treat my PC like a console now. I'm going to have a second machine to run the capture card, run the stream, and all that kind of stuff. I was like, this is getting expensive. And if you want to, as you know, you're saying, like, we will get that hardware. But if you want to play now, you got to pony up some serious fucking dollars.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I priced up a card. I priced up something that I was like, this cannot in any way. This has to be more powerful than the consoles. It's got brutal single core performance, fantastic amounts of fucking video memory in there. $4,000, or just shy of $4,000. I was like, fucking hell. You know, just to be sure you had enough raw horsepower to keep up.
Yeah.
Even when some of these games, like Street Fighter, it's not saying you need a super hardcore setup. But if you want to play it properly, you need something quite beefy.
Yeah. Oh, well. It'll come good again. We'll just have to... Either get a console or put up for the next couple of years.
So apologies to anyone that I've recommended hardware to. I did not expect optimizations to go through the floor.
No.
Quite as quickly as they did, to be completely honest.
Yeah, it's the trouble when you know something can... When you can throw hardware at something and you know the console's got the hardware to throw, so you can let things slip because that's what's happened. It's easy to let it slip and let the hardware deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
Then worry about, oh, that's okay. Well, we better make sure it's optimized and running, because let's be honest, games look nice, but they are on here plateau now and looks.
Oh yeah, for sure.
You know, we've had this discussion before, but you compare a PS5 game to a PS4 game, well, now compare a PS2 game to a PS1 game. The jump gets less and less each era.
Yeah.
So they can make it work. They just haven't.
It's just whether or not they want to put in the actual work to do it, yeah.
Yeah.
So I thought that in the case of Street Fighter, I've just found it absolutely bizarre that the mode that crippled hardware the most was this bizarre single player open world RPG that looks for the most part worse than Sega Yakuza games from years ago. So if, for example, you look up Yakuza 6 and then look up the Street Fighter 6 world tour mode, Yakuza 6 looks considerably better and runs on much worse hardware.
Yeah.
I will say that Street Fighter 6 is a good game if you've got the
I'm going to ask about Street Fighter. Despite your issues, are you actually enjoying it?
So, like I say, the reason that the hardware breaks my heart is because I've recommended hardware to people and they're now finding that it's not quite living up to, for whatever reason, whether it be single core performance, VRAM, whatever. You can play the game at medium, it still looks all right on medium, but it is a bit of a shock to see the hardware is already long in the tooth, and it was only a SKU that's like a year and a half old, 2 years old. Because my eldest son wanted Street Fighter 6. He's wanted Street Fighter 6 since it was announced. He even bought his own copy at Christmas, like pre-ordered it. And I told him, refund it and I will buy you a copy for your birthday. I'll get you it early for your birthday. I'll buy you the Ultimate Edition. So we pick it up and, well, obviously he's got a laptop like mine. It runs like a fucking slideshow.
Oh, dear.
You can tweak it. It does work fine. Thankfully, he's not streaming or anything on it, so he can get away with near enough high settings. But there's no reason that the World Tour mode should look how it does and require the hardware that it does. But it looks, frankly, gorgeous for a fighting game, for a modern fighting game. Thinking how we went from sprites to 3D Street Fighter with Street Fighter 4, which looked kind of Street Fighter 5 looked quite a bit better. Street Fighter 6 is Street Fighter 5 with a lot of polish, lighting, like muscles actually have like clear defined textures. Like when the characters flex, you can actually see their clothing stretch and stuff like that. As they fight, they sweat, which affects lighting and all that. Absolutely, it's gorgeous. When you get in a match and all the effects start going off and all that, it's really quite nice. Mechanically, it's quite solid as well. You've got three sets of controls actually in this, but I only know of two of them, where you've got classic controls where you have to do like your motion inputs. So, you know, you've got light, medium, heavy punch, light, medium, heavy kick. And then you would combo those buttons with, say, a sequence of inputs on a D-pad or a stick. So like down, down, back, back, and then kick would be a tatsumaki, like a whirlwind kick. Probably gone and said the wrong name there, but or like a quarter circle forwards would be a Hadouken or whatever, you know, the classic fireball motion. You can either do those or you can go to modern controls, which would be just press a direction and one of the buttons. So you don't have access to the character's full move set, but you can say do dragon uppercuts, fireballs with just two buttons, which has significantly lowered the barrier to entry for new players. The only downside is, well, two downsides. One, you don't have access to the full move set, and two, your damage output is actually reduced. However, given the reduction in skill required to do some of the bigger combos now, I think a damage reduction isn't that big of a deal. Like, you can practically no-brain it.
So, just so curious, presuming it's multiplayer, you can play, like, well, I'm presuming on consoles, you can have two-player, multiplayer, and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Can the different players have different modes?
Yes. So, if you wanted to, you could play in modern mode, and I could play in classic, and we could compete that way. There's also a hybrid mode, but I don't know how that works because I haven't tried it yet, but I think it might just be modern controls, but you can do motion inputs if you want. So it's kind of a comboed move list, but I think it's neat. The game forces you to use modern controls if you go into the World Tour RPG mode to start with. The World Tour RPG mode is literally a full-blown story in Street Fighter, which is bizarre. As I say, imagine Yakuza, but Street Fighter characters set in the city of Final Fight, which is it takes place in the same universe as Street Fighter. That's their side-scrolling beat-em-up. So weird to see it. It's fun, but it doesn't look great compared to the rest of the game. That forces you to play, as you go through the story, for the first chapter or so, it forces you to play in modern controls, and then will give you the option to transition over to classic if you want. And what that is just like a big open world, running around, and then when you get into a fight with someone, it goes into the standard kind of left side, sort of, right side.
Sort of Final Fantasy-esque.
Yeah, kind of thing. Yeah, yeah. So you kind of bump into someone in the street and then they challenge you to a fight. And depending on the kind of fight, they might have a smaller health bar because they're just kind of like minions. And you might have to fight three or four people that will come running at you. Depending on what kind of moves and how you finish them, you might unlock items or money or things like that. It's quite neat. I just don't think that it should really require the hardware that it does for the way that it looks. Check that one out. I don't want to say anything about the story because I don't want to spoil anything, but it's Street Fighter, so I wouldn't imagine it being too crazy. But you make your own character, and that's kind of fun. And you can learn, you can go and learn fighting moves from other Street Fighter characters like Chun-Li and Luke and Ryu and all that. So like you can learn the fireballs and the spinning bird kick and all that kind of stuff. And then kind of stick them onto your character. And it's neat. It's kind of neat. I don't think you can use that character in multiplayer. However, you use that character for the multiplayer hub because the multiplayer hub is now open world. So you just join a big lobby and you kind of run up to your mate. It's like a big arcade and there's like big TVs everywhere so you can watch other people's matches on the big TV. You can challenge other people to fight. There are arcade machines there where you can sit down and play classic Capcom arcade games. And so, you know, that's kind of a neat thing. And then you've got your kind of your standard Street Fighter where you just go through an arcade mode, a trials mode, which is kind of like a combo tutorial mode, which you've done, Ram, in Street Fighter 5. Or you had we go at it where it kind of tells you a sequence of inputs and you have to do those to complete a combo.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. Ram's wishing he had modern controls back then. You did all right considering you'd never really played a fighting game before.
I didn't get a combo off.
But you got parts of the string together though. You just didn't manage to get the whole thing together.
Yeah.
So but it takes a while to get used to. It's also interesting that the game offers a 120Hz mode, even though the physics still only runs at 60fps. So it's not actually checking inputs or polling for inputs any faster, but it's cool.
It looks a bit smoother.
Yeah, but it's cool. And I will tell you something that's really fucking cool about it that I'm so glad they finally did. So for the longest time in fighting games, if I was a PC player, I could only play with my mates on PC. If one of my mates had a PlayStation, one of my other mates had an Xbox, we couldn't play together because you could only play with other people in a pool for that specific platform. Street Fighter VI now requires you, if you want to go online, to have a Capcom ID. And so you go to the Capcom website, you make a Capcom ID, you link your Steam account, your PlayStation account, or whatever account to your Capcom ID, and from that point on, you can play completely cross-play. So a PC player can play with a PlayStation player, can play with an Xbox player, and it's all good. Nothing different. Because there are also problems back in the day where, for example, Street Fighter V, it was only on two platforms, but it was on PC and it was on PlayStation. However, PC ran at 4 frames. You had 4 frames of input latency. The PlayStation ran at between 6 and 8. So there was no way they could have those two come together to play because there was timing differences. Now they've fixed that. Now everyone can play together. PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, Xbox Series, PC can all play together. You just get a little icon that says PC, PlayStation, Xbox. You just go into a lobby, you kick the shit out of each other. Great fun. You are no longer tied to a platform like you used to be. And it's nice to see Street Fighter is a multi-platform game like it used to be back in the days of Street Fighter 4. Because for Street Fighter 5, it was a PlayStation and PC platform exclusive. It was a PlayStation console exclusive and was released on PC. But I'm really glad they did that. The only other the downside though, PC, you have to put up with Denuvo DRM, Is it DRM or anti-cheat? I can't remember. It's DRM, isn't it?
Something like that, yeah.
Which is not great. If you've got the hardware, it doesn't really matter. But if you're running on the edge, the Nuvo tends to cause more problems than it really needs to. Performance will dip from time to time. You will get micro stutters. You will have frame rate drops, all because the Nuvo is in it. The betas didn't have the Nuvo. The demo didn't have the Nuvo. The benchmark doesn't have the Nuvo, from what I understand. But the actual full game does. So don't necessarily use the benchmark as a clue to how well you're going to be able to play the game, because it's probably going to be smoother in the benchmark than in the actual game. It's expensive. It's £90 for the full game.
Wow.
That's with the full roster of characters. I don't remember how many characters there are, like 15, 18, something like that. You get the first season of characters with it if you buy the full game. If you buy the £40 version, you'll have to buy the characters as they come out, I guess. Yeah, it's fun. It's Street Fighter. If you know Street Fighter, it's that, but with a shiny coat of paint and new characters.
I have to say, it's been appearing in my feed all week.
Yeah.
But there's offers. But for some reason, I find the guy on the front really funny to look at.
Oh, the new guy, Luke, the blonde guy.
Well, yeah, it's a picture I keep seeing. It's the guy, and he's sort of facing towards the camera. He's got his fist down in front of him, and he's got like a hoodie on, his jacket on, and he's like a big quiff.
That's Luke.
But, yeah. But for some reason, I just find the pose he's doing funny.
Right.
Every time I say, I have a little giggle. I don't know why. I think cause it looks like he's drunk.
Sure. Okay.
Because he's got one eye closed like he's had it punched, and his mouth's all a bit crooked, and it looks like, yeah, mate, come on, I'll have another go. Yeah, yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. It's the sort of person I expect to see. Like, but the thing is, he looks at you and think the next punch that takes him will just take him straight out. Because it's all what I expect to see, like a pub one, like sort of. Like no stuff on a Friday night.
It's awkward, really, because Luke was only introduced at the end of Street Fighter V. He was supposed to be like one of the last DLC characters, and he was supposed to be the new face of Street Fighter. It's a little sore if you're a Street Fighter fan, because you know that Ryu and Ken were the kind of main guys of Street Fighter. If you run the benchmark, the new guy Luke completely crushes Ryu. It's not even there's no competition. He just kicks the shit out of him, and you're like, oh dear, I don't know how I feel to this, because Ryu was supposed to be the badass character of the series. Yeah, but I mean, it's all right. It was surprising, because every other Street Fighter game has come before Street Fighter 3. What? Story-wise. And don't worry.
My brain did fry there for a second.
Yeah. Street Fighter's story is a bit... Well, it's weird. It's a fighting game story for a start. But so, I can't remember the order it goes. It's like Street Fighter 1... Street Fighter Alpha, it might be Street Fighter Alpha, Street Fighter 1, Street Fighter 2, Street Fighter 4, Street Fighter 5, Street Fighter 3, and now Street Fighter 6. We all had this joke where we didn't think Street Fighter was ever going to go past Street Fighter 3 in the timeline. We didn't think the characters were ever going to get older. And so when 6 was announced and you saw an older Ryu, an older Ken, you were just like, oh, shit, they did it. And they went back to the same Street Fighter 3 had kind of like rap and hip-hop inspired soundtracks and theming, like graffiti, rap music, that kind of stuff. They've gone and put that in Street Fighter 6 again. It's been neat. It's been interesting. I want to know what other characters they're going to put back into the game and how they've changed. I want to see how all the different characters... I want to see all the different character stories. I honestly didn't think they would go beyond... I think it was the Illuminati was the like the big bad of Street Fighter 3.
Okay.
Yeah.
But... So, to what the crossover between Deus Ex and Street Fighter you never knew would happen.
You see, that's it. Now you know. Now you know. Yeah, I it's fun, it's expensive, but you need raw fucking horsepower to play it. If you have the option of PC or console, I think for now maybe play it on console. The only console actually able to play it smoothly with all bells and whistles is the PlayStation 5. Which seems to be where most people are optimizing anyway. It was the same thing with Hogwarts. If you want to play Hogwarts and you want to play it smoothly, PlayStation 5 was the way to go. I'm not saying that it matters if you go on if you're on PC or whatever and you bump it down to medium or you're playing it on one of the lower-end consoles, because the game still looks pretty fucking fantastic, with the exception of World Tour mode, which I can't understand why it looks so shit. But it's fun. It's nice to see another Street Fighter game come out when there was a time when we weren't entirely sure what was going to happen to Street Fighter as a franchise. A lot of the big companies kind of started to step away from making fighting games because they didn't appear to be all that popular. If you look at esports as a whole, fighting games are usually right at the bottom of the barrel.
Yeah.
But it's nice to see a big budget Street Fighter game. It's nice that they've put a story mode in it, even though it looks shite and it tanks hardware, because they didn't put a story in Street Fighter V. They've learned their lessons. They've tweaked. They've put in all the features. They've made it pretty. Hey, if you like retro Capcom games, just buy it so you can go into the lobby and play those. You can just sit and play Street Fighter II and all the other little games on that. It's neat. You can tell they had this dream and every other Street Fighter kind of got cut short for them, and they've gone, these are all the cool bits from here, here's some cool bits from here, and here's some cool bits from here. Let's fucking smush it all together and make the ultimate Street Fighter. And I personally think it's pretty good.
Oh, I
think it's pretty good.
Good. Awesome. Oh, wow. Dom?
Just a quick question though, Ram. So have you been playing anything?
I have.
All right. I don't know if perhaps you'd seen that System Shock has been re-released.
I have seen System Shock has been re-released. I was like, ooh, System Shock's been re-released.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, ooh, I might pick that up.
I see. Well, you've missed the bargain of the century on that one, mate.
Yes, well... I it was only today. I actually saw it on the. It came up on today when I walked, literally got on my PC today.
Oh no,
so,
mate!
Yeah.
So if you pre-ordered it, you got the remake of System Shock 2 for free when it comes out.
Yeah.
Interested?
I didn't know. I am interested. I didn't even know they were remaking System Shock.
Neither did I.
No. So, yeah, it was like, oh, that's back. Okay, cool.
So that was the 1994 version, wasn't there? Then there was the 2015 remaster.
Yes.
Might have been a bit earlier than that. I don't know.
I think so, yeah.
And then there's now this new one that doesn't require you to have a supercomputer to play.
That's good.
Fantastic. Yeah. If you get it, Ram, I want to
know. Showed not required.
Have you ever beaten System Shock? Have you finished it?
I started playing through System Shock 2, and I can't remember why I sort of drifted away from it, but I sort of drifted away from it.
So, I've been playing it again recently. Someone will go, you're a poser, you've only got like a couple of hours on System Shock on Steam. So, yeah, because I've been playing them on GOG for years. But I thought I will install, I'll install System Shock and System Shock 2. And the remake, I will install those on my Steam Deck and go through them on that. So that's the only reason my Steam playtime is now starting to go up. But if you get to playing it, man, I want to know what you think.
Oh, I might pick it. I might sort of see what the old finance line pick it up.
Yeah,
cool. Well, I have been playing sort of classic games.
Who are?
Well, I say classic games. Oh, perhaps not so much classic game, but old games.
Came out last week.
no, this game came out in 1993.
Whoa.
Yeah, I had a game. I just had this little hankering for playing a game that I remember fondly from my childhood. Playing on the old Amiga.
Oh my, right. Yeah.
And it was a game called Sleepwalker.
Oh my God, I remember that. With the wee dog.
It came out as part of a it was a game that was basically written to coincide with Comic Relief.
Mm-hmm.
So once the game loads up, it's made, published by Ocean Software, and it loads up the first thing that happened. Yeah, poor old Ocean. And the first thing that happens is like a red nose gets thrown at the Ocean logo and splats on it. And you can, and like the little title, sort of like title screen, is the two characters walking behind the Sleepwalker logo. They've both got red noses on. And you can even pick up like red nose related stuff in the actual game itself. It was a pull on time with it. And it's got Lenny Henry does some of the voices in it and all sorts. And I remember as a child, and I remember playing as a child. I always remember a child, I always used to put the cheats on.
Right.
Because I wasn't very good at it. So I thought, I'm an adult now. I might be better. No.
Mate, it's an Amiga game. No. Those games aren't made to... You don't beat an Amiga game. You just get your ass beat over and over and over again until you fall into this pit of dread.
I rage quit it today, Skaz. I don't normally rage quit a game, but I rage quit that game today. So the basic premise is your dog and your uncle, your like, well, I suppose your owner, whilst it's called Lee, and he sleepwalks and he gets up in the middle of the night and he walks out his window and you jump ahead of him and you chase after him. And what you have to do is for each level he's sleepwalking, you have to basically go ahead of him and fix all the possible hazards that form, such as closing, there might be like sort of sewer gates that open, which will flush him away and drown him. Or there might be like a long drop that will fall into water, or there'll be like a bounce that will wake him up, and you guys, or cars driving through traffic lights that will take him out. And you basically have to go ahead and either prevent the hazard being there, or somehow help him get past it. And the whole time the game's going, he is constantly walking. He doesn't stop. He just walks at a steady pace in one direction. If he hits a wall, he turns around and comes back the other way. It's obviously, it's a mirror game, so it's side on 2D.
Mm-hmm.
Comes on the other way. And you basically have to guide him through. So you can interact with him a few ways. You can... If you are in his way, when he tries to walk through you, you'll basically put your paws up and you will hold him there and he can't walk through you.
Mm-hmm.
You can also flip him round, turn him round, and he'll walk the opposite direction. You can kick him, which surprisingly does not wake him up. But if you kick him, so you can kick him up like ledges and stuff or over gaps. You can push him. So when he's sleepwalking one direction, you can't, but you can like, sort of can't make him move. When he's walking towards you, you can't like push him back. But if he's sort of walking away from you, you can go behind and push him through foot quicker.
Mm-hmm.
So you can push him past things quicker. The frustration comes where the fact that one of the main interactions you have to do is to kick him. Trouble is that is such a weird triggering to like to do it. So to be able to kick him, you can't be like, because how this was the way that sometimes he ignores your hitbox. If he walks into you directly, he'll stop. If however you like fall behind, that like you jump up and land behind him, he ignores your hitbox and will walk through you.
Mm-hmm.
But in that situation, you can't kick him. You have to basically be in a situation to stop him or be pushing him. You have to have those sort of like triggers first. I'm stopping him or pushing him before you can kick him. Which means when he's walking away from you, kicking him over gaps is bloody difficult because you have to sort of like run up to him, but not push him too much. Or you might push him off the edge, but then kick him at the same time.
Yeah, you have to be pretty much on top of the kid from what I remember.
Yeah, yeah. But choice if you are, but if you're completely on top of him, you can't kick him. So the trigger, the sort of like threshold to trigger to kick him is fucking awkward.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I remember.
So, yeah. So the very first level, he like lands on the roof, walks off the edge of the roof, and you can sort of drop down. You have to close it like a skylight, so you just walk through it, fall through it. And then he then walks across like a, I don't know if it's a wire, tightrope or something, that presumably electrical wire. That's a neat mechanic. If you walk across it, like just walk across it, it's fine. If, however, you jump, it springs and bounces. If he's walked across it, because, well, he's asleep, he falls off.
Oh, yeah, sure.
So he walks across it, and then so you get across that, you have to sort of like kick him up a ledge. I don't think he takes any fall damage. Falling doesn't seem to wake him up at all. So he has no fall damage. Because you don't have health. He does, so he can die. His bar is basically how asleep he is. Sure. And if it gets down to zero, he wakes up and it's game over. Or he can die. If you drop him water, he'll just drown and die. But if you kick him over that, you then say, get him down a lift, then eventually you sort of take him down to some sewers. This is all the first tricky bit. You have to close a couple of sewer gates so he doesn't get flushed away into the sewer. Then there's like a barrel that he has to walk across. So there'll be a barrel come up. And if you sort of like, you have time right so that he walks across the barrel. And then you have to kick him across your first gap. And then comes the first fucking awkward bit. It's like a three-tier thing. You have to kick him up. But one, so imagine you've got like the base level, then like a single tier up, and then another tier like sort of scaffolding, and then finally up where you need to go. So it's three kicks up basically.
Mm-hmm.
And the size of the tiering is basically three tile sizes. So like he takes up one, you take up another, and there's a third one spare. The trouble is they thought, oh, let's put a little secret area in here. Next to it, so you can walk off like the second sort of bit of scaffolding walks off into a secret area. So you kick him up to the first one, that's fine, that's not a problem. He hits the wall, he jumps back, so you've got to get up there quick behind him. This is where the annoying thing comes. So if you jump up behind him, but you slightly overlap when you jump up, he'll walk through you. You won't stop him. So you have to make sure you get up there in front of him first. But then if you kick him again, because you're next, you can only kick him when he's facing away from you. So you can't kick him like when he's facing towards you. So you can't like let him come towards you and get in the right position and kick him. You have to kick him as he turns around. So you turn around and kick him. And then the next one up, he immediately will then walk off into the secret area, which means he falls down a bit of a ledge, which means you have to jump into the secret area to turn around, jump and kick him back onto the scaffolding, which only has one place it will actually fit properly through. You have to somehow jump back onto the scaffolding in front of him to turn around again to fucking kick him up.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I might remember the bit you were on about actually,
yeah.
Ram.
And yeah. And
start rocking backwards and forwards.
Yeah. And I did this and I got him up. And I got and after that little hard bit, that's the thing. The kicking part of it, that's all like really fine time kicking. That's the worst bit. There's other bits where you have to sort of do that as well, but that's not so bad because they generally are a little bit more flexible, sort of like the position and the timings of it's a bit more flexible. But blast me, getting ahead of him and sort of like trying to sort of jump and get ahead of him and sort of like fall down in front of him. And because you can also like sort of, if there's a gap small enough, you'll jump down, put your paws at your side, and he'll walk over you.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, mate, I sort of my nostalgia was fixed within about half an hour playing the game.
I have a question, how were you playing it?
It's on Steam, believe it or not.
Really?
Yeah, it's on Steam for $3.99 on Steam, and it basically runs in DOSBox.
Mate, insane.
Yeah. Couldn't believe it. There's a whole collection of old games on Steam you can download.
Oh, my.
I was surprised. I thought about it. I wonder what happened to that game. I think it's obviously Googled it, and then it popped up as it was on Steam. It's like, oh, okay then.
Don't mind if I do.
Yeah. So... yeah, it was. I remember as a child being shit at it. And what we used to do as a child was put the cheat code in, which is something crazy. It's something like, I think it's something like ding a ding, bing a bong, ding dong, bing bong. Something like you have to type in on the keyboard, put it through. And that allows you to skip to the next level. or like reset his like sleep bar.
Sure.
So I remember as a child, what we used to do was basically get into it, basically get him into like sort of find a little spot. There'll be little places where it's like a gap between two walls. So if he drops in there, he'll just walk back and forth forever, and he's safe. And you do that, and then you like go, okay, I'm going to go off and just explore the level, and just wander around the level for sort of like, and that's always basically that's how I used to play as a child. Just put the cheat in, get him put somewhere he couldn't do any harm, then just explore the level and have fun, because it's got a lot of humor in it, it's a lot of animation. So your dog is indestructible, but nearly everything you encounter will have like some funny animation tied to it. Yeah. So like if he falls through a skylight, then the window underneath it will open, this person will throw you out onto the street. If you get hit by a car, there's a big bang, you'll just let it flat on the ground for a second, then it'll sort of get better. There's like sort of things that jet up flame, and if he stands there, he'll suddenly just get covered in soot. It's very fun. It's got lots of little comedy bits in it. It'll do things like, if you get right close to an edge, he'll do the old like cartoony, oh, I'm balancing on the edge, whoa, whoa, whoa,
oh, yeah, and then sure, fall off. Yeah.
If you run, this is an annoying one. Okay, it's funny the first time. If you run up to and over an edge of the edge, he'll stop in midair and sort of look down and go, uh-oh, and then fall.
Sure.
Now, think about the bit where I had to get the child up off the small bit of scaffolding. The amount of times I would run and try and get ahead of said child, get to the edge, and that animation would kick in.
Oh, mate.
Trust the animation takes like a couple seconds to run. So the while you're doing that, he's still walking, and he walks off, and he's just basically walking towards danger. It's like, oh, for fuck's sake. So,
games weren't supposed to be fun back in the day.
No, they weren't meant to be
they
fun.
They were supposed to encourage you to get outside or program something better.
So I may look think this level's quite short. I see why it's short now, because you just couldn't last. But yeah, I mean it's got quite. But yeah, that's always just a child. Just basically go ahead, explore the places, see all the sort of weird interactions that you could do with the dog, and just basically have a little bit of fun. Skip right to the end and then get the good ending anyway. So that was a bit of a nostalgia kick that I've sort of worn off now.
It's good try. Like, yeah, I'm glad you tried it, man.
Yeah, I'm glad I tried. It's like, I'm done now.
I'm done with that, mate.
Yeah, never again.
Bless you.
Never again.
You poor soul. That's the part of the Ocean Classics collection.
It is.
Bundle of old like Amiga and PC games.
There you go. After that, I sort of like, what am I going to do? So I was looking for my Steam list, and I come across a game that I think Zabe actually gifted. I think I gifted to both of us, or one of us, you might have already had it. Risk Global Domination.
Oh, yeah, I think Zabe wanted us all to play that.
Yeah, so I thought, fuck it, I'll load that up. So I load it up, and it's Risk. If you've played the game Risk, it's Risk. If you know what Risk is, it's a very, fairly old, slightly strategic game and
very expensive tabletop game.
Well, it can be. I think the basic version is quite cheap. It's all the fancy limited editions and stuff are quite expensive. I've got about three versions of Risk.
Jesus.
And basically you have it's the basic version is you have the world and they're split into territories, and you'll have like, I think the minimum is three players. I think up to like sort of six players. Mm-hmm. And you'll basically, every turn, you'll get a number of units based on how many territories you control. You get a bonus if you control a whole continent. And you can also get cards which you can trade in. If you get cards, like three of the same card, you can trade them in and get bonus troops. And the basic goal is to, the default risk is to take over the world, to control the whole world. Do this, you basically will put all your troops, one territory can attack another, and all the troops fight. It just fights until one side loses. So you can't, let's say, you only tackle half your troops, they go until they lose. And how it works is you roll dice. Now, I think the dice rolling works by defender and attacker both roll any kind of dice. On a draw, the defender wins. On a whoever rolls highest wins, but on a draw, the defender wins. So it's slightly in favour of defenders. And put simply, it is probably the ultimate example of a rich get richer system of games. Its biggest flaw is the fact that once, if you get start off lucky and sort of get a bit of a foothold somewhere,
mm-hmm.
and get more troops, you're pretty much guaranteed to win, unless someone else has done the same as you. But if you're like, there's like six of you playing and you get a continent early on, oh, because it's randomized where you start. You basically get, there's a card all territories on that you deal out, and it's randomized where you will get your troops. But if you're lucky, you get a load next to each other, you can sort of like take continent quickly, you get a bonus immediately next turn.
Mm-hmm.
And every time you conquer a territory, you get a card. And that pushes the maths. It says, well, I've got 14 soldiers, you've got two. I'm winning this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, unless something incredibly unlucky happens, I'm winning this. And it's the ultimate example of rich get richer, and it just comes to a point, and of course, the more territory you hold, the more military you get, the more infantry you get, and there's no real limit. And so you basically just steamroller, which if you're winning is really good fun. If you're not winning, it's really horrible.
Sure.
So that's the board game. And the Risk Global Domination is the complete, is direct copy of that board game. You can play against sort of like online, you can play against solo, against CPUs. But it is probably one of the worst examples of a game of microtransactions I've ever played. It costs you points to play a game.
Wow. Okay.
So you have like 100. It starts off with like 150, like some currency of subscription. To play a solo game, cost you 5 of them.
Hmm.
To play a solo game against the PC, cost you. Yeah, it's like what? Against the PC, well, I can't say if you're entering into some sort of like online league or something, but on your own computer against the PC, it costs money?
Yes.
What? So that was a little bit of a shock. And then after that, and then everything else, it's everything. So, and you get like the sort of default map, a default character, then everything else costs you in-game money. The game is very generous. It starts you with 20 of these in-game monies. But I think the cheapest thing I found is 600. So, but you can buy like new avatars, you can buy new soldier icons. So the default one's the Napoleon soldier icon. You can buy like all different versions of them, pirates and zombies and like space marines and all sorts of stuff like that. You can change like your avatar, which you can buy. You can change your dice, all which look really awkward and playable. You can change the colour of your face. So you can customise everything, but all costs in-game money. Nothing is free. The game is free. Nothing else is.
Sure.
Is really one of the worst examples, I think, of like... It's almost like... If someone's going to make a joke game about how much the game's got too much microtransactions in it, this would be the joke game version. You wouldn't think it was a thing. It is really... It was also... I couldn't get over the fact that it cost me money to play against a computer. I couldn't get over that.
Sounds beautiful.
I played a couple of games. Cost me 10. First game, I wasn't paying attention to what I was doing and ended up getting absolutely mullered. Because, again, to our risk is there's no mechanism. If you get a bad starting position, if you get like all your territory split across the map, you're basically fucked. You might as well resign there and then because you are fucked. You know, if you've got like territories in six different parts of the map, and then one player next to you's got four next to each other, you're fucked. You know, you might as well not bother.
Sure.
There are other games, strategy games I have played, which are far like board game strategy games that have a lot better mechanics than this. We played one at Christmas called Civilization, which is a long board game. There was 3 of us, and we played it for more than 12 hours, and we still weren't close into winning.
There you go.
Yeah,
get your money's worth.
definitely. It was actually really good fun. We actually literally played it over the course of 2 days. It was really good fun, and the hours were flying by. But that is a mechanic in that, yes, you conquer territories, a bit like Risk, so forth, but there's no dice rolling. Territory just works on when you move your troops into the territory, you take in turns to remove a counter until there's no counters left. So you can calculate how many counters you need to win. But what makes it interesting is the amount, and you get counters every turn for like the areas you control and so forth. However, what makes it interesting is there's a limited number of counters per player. And once those counters are used, you can't have, if you haven't got enough counters to reinforce, you can't do it. So people who control more territory are stretched thinner.
All right.
Which, whereas people control less territory will be able to have their more soldiers, which you have this constant toing and froing, pushing and pulling going on. You can still like take control of areas and so forth. It's possible, but you can't steamroll other people. Even late on, we played for 12 hours and we were all still in the game. No one was really like on death's door. Everybody was still in the game. Everybody still could come back and still win. Because it's not about really conquering other players. You can do it, but you'd be there for a long time. So that's an interesting combat mechanic, because it means you can't, whereas Risk doesn't have that. Risk is actually a really badly designed game, if I'm truth be told. It's just it is really shittily designed. For 5 of the 6 players are going to have a shit time, because when I have played Risk, what ends up happening is one player gets eliminated on fairly quickly, and then they basically, okay, oh, it's Boxing Day, let's play Risk. Oh, we're half hour in, and oh, Dad, you've been eliminated. Well, better see something on the telly while the rest of us carry on having fun. Because there is nothing you can do.
You can go and get us drinks.
Yeah, you can go wait on us. And a game of Risk board game takes 4 to 5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
You know, unless you really get on quick. If you're playing against people who like have a certain degree of nouns, it's very quick. So as long as they're very quick, they're basically gone for a boring time. So I won't. Sci-Fi is free. I'm not going to recommend Risk Global Domination.
Sure. Okay.
I don't.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because I just despise that. I just can't go with that. They charge me money to play a single player game on solo every time. I just can't go with that.
Just think. I want a Chinese developer. I probably want a Chinese developer either.
No, it's got like 90% rating on Steam. I don't know why, but I think it's for what I've seen in the readings, like saw the forums and stuff. When it came out several years ago, it wasn't quite as bad,
right? And it's just kind of slowly but surely fallen apart over the years.
Yeah, they've added more sort of microtransactions into it, which has made it worse and worse and worse. Yeah. Can't work. So yeah, don't play Risk Global Domination.
Lesson learned.
And Mia games are horrible. If you couldn't play a Mia game as a child with all those quick reactions, you're doomed as an adult.
In fairness, mate, it's like when Amiga games used to come out on like Super Nintendo and Mega Drive and stuff like that. When you get ports come over, you could tell the stuff that came from Amiga. There was a very clear aesthetic for Amiga games, and if you got one of those on something that wasn't an Amiga, don't play it.
Yeah,
in fairness, yeah. It actually made us look like shite.
Yeah,
so obviously, you know, a lot of Commodore 64 and Amiga games came from Europe, and they were all frankly shit when they all got ported to other platforms. You'd see like these really hyper polished games, and then all of a sudden you get this really jank random port that doesn't look particularly fantastic. It's like, oh, it's an Amiga game.
yeah right, Skies. Well, and that's anything else from yourself?
That's everything, Gov.
No, marvelous. Well, thank you, everybody who's joined us this evening. Thank you, Annie. Thank you. We've just got Wolf Visuals who just joined us as well. Thank you.
Sorry, Annie.
I always said hello to him. Thank you for joining us. You can check us out on our next podcast, which will be in 2 weeks' time on the 17th of June. Here on the YouTubes, youtube.com/randnerds, or on twitch.tv/randnerds. You can check us out our games night, which will be this Wednesday, which is the 4th, 5th, 7th of June. I have to, every single time, I have to count up.
7th Mate, June. I still, in my head, I'm still like, oh, it's on Tuesday. It's like, shit, no, and it's on Wednesday now. Yeah.
7th of June at roughly 8:30. You can check out my stream at twitch.tv/SuffolkGram.
And I'm at twitch.tv/Skazius, SK4ZZI0US.
You can check out our website, randnerds.co.uk. And by all means, check us out our podcast on, well, it was Anchor, it's now Spotify. Check us out on there. So thank you for watching, everybody. And we look forward to seeing you in a fortnight's time.
Rocking. Take it easy, guys.